This Mass is being offered for the conversion of all the lost souls. Today we do the same readings that we did on Sunday, here for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. And in this time, it's good to recall and to remind ourselves that as we're entering into the month of November, that this is the time for us to pray for the poor souls and to make sure that we make those Masses at those times that we will have them, and as well to go out and each day already set the time at which we intend to go and spend even a brief moment inside the cemeteries praying for those souls, that they may receive the indulgences which they need and which they can do nothing for themselves. It's already appropriate of a time to be able to have those planned out when we will be there, so that we have no excuse when the days come each day when we're going to do so, so that we do not miss out on doing the good for those poor souls that need them. As it says within our scriptures today, the day is evil. What does it mean that the day is evil? It means the day is full of evils that are around us. And so the days being evil wish to rob us of doing the good that we wish to already set in motion. And so it is important for you and I to take charge and to take a good account of what we do with it, with what we do with our time. Time is one of the most precious things that you and I have. It's made precious on account of a number of things. First, we only have a limited amount of it. And just as we know, only having a limited amount of something makes something all the more costly, just as there is a limited amount of gasoline in that's being released, and so that means what? That it's all the more expensive to be able to be used for us. And we know that very well. A limited amount of dollars chasing a great amount of dollars chasing a limited amount of goods causes inflation, which we are experiencing right now. And so because of the limit on certain things, so things become all the more expensive. So our time, because we only have a certain quantity of it. But even in a greater way, what makes it all the more expensive to us or all the more costly is that not only do we have a limited amount of time, but in addition, we don't know how much time we have. Neither the day nor the hour is known when the Son of Man will come for each of us. We do not know. It will come like a thief in the night. And so if we have a limited amount of time and we do not know how much of that time we have, and that moment could come at any moment, it makes it all the more important what it is that we do with the time that we know that we have. And how much time does any of us know that we have? Each of us only knows that we have the moment that we have right now. That's it. We're not promised a moment beyond this. We're not promised a tomorrow. We're promised just this moment. That's all that we know for sure that we have. And so it's all the more important to examine ourselves and to see where we are in this moment. The great tragedy of life is to recognize that in a moment, everything can change. In a single moment, everything can change. In a moment, one could be living in the state of grace, and then in the next moment, given by a temptation, one could fall from that grace. And in that moment of fall, the eternal destination of the soul is radically changed. It can so easily pass in a moment. A moment we could be turning to God. A moment we could be turning to Satan. In a moment we could be turning to another for asking for their prayers. In another moment we could be turning and speaking of that very same person in an unfavorable light, and they're lessening our chances for salvation. It's important to take count and a stock of where our soul is at the moment. When a soul falls into grave sin, that soul is eternally damned. Eternally damned unless they reach for the saving grace of God, which is offered within the confessional. And so it is important for us to take charge of what it is that we do with our time, because the day is evil and we are not promised a moment beyond this. But given that the world is full of evils and many difficulties, what should we do with our time? How should we spend it? In what way can we profit by the time that we have, even living in a world which is full of so many grave evils? The apostle speaks to us in this way. He says, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to luxury, which leads to the giving off of pleasure, is what it's talking about. In Spanish, we have a word that is very similar to luxury, lujuria. Lujuria, and that's that sin of lust. And so it's given to those great pleasures in that way. But he says, rather, we should be filled not with wine, but with the Holy Spirit. And what happens when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit? When you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how evil the days may be. In fact, it doesn't matter how evil this moment may be, robbing everyone else around us of courage, of strength, of peace, and of every bit of blessing which is given from God, so easily can it be turned in a moment, at least on the outside, but not for one who has the Holy Spirit. For the gifts of the Holy Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, also of chastity, and all sorts of other good gifts which are given by the Holy Spirit himself. And so the one who is filled with the Holy Spirit, even amidst the days of evil, is not thrown off by all these difficulties, for the fruits are growing within them. Therefore, St. Paul's words ring all the more true. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, how can one pass their days in the midst of great evil? St. Paul says, rather, share with yourself, speak to yourself, say aloud psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. How are days supposed to be passed even in the midst of great evil? Right now, the church is besieged and beleaguered on all sides against by her enemies, who seek to destroy her, who seek to wipe her off the face of the earth. Sadly, during these times, the enemies are within the gates, within the walls. It is not even those who are within the clergy that you can always have your greatest faith and confidence in, because some of these, even in very high positions, are seeking the utter destruction of the church. This present synodal way is actually a heretical way, a way which leads souls further from God rather than leading souls to God, as you can see from the results of what is being propagated as these are the ways forward. Again, the German bishops, the bishops of Brussels, the bishops of so many places are pushing against the faith, seeking to exalt sin and excuse the ways of evil. They're seeking to set up false hierarchies and establish a false equivalency between true religion and false religion. But what companionship can light have with darkness? It can have none, for where the darkness advances, so the light must retreat. And where light advances, so too must darkness retreat. They are entirely inimical one to the other. And yet, what should be going on in our souls, even in the midst of all these grave evils that we see? The thing that will give you and I courage to be able to go forward is what if speaking to ourselves, psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing and making melody unto the Lord? What should be the great strength, and what has been the great strength of Catholics throughout the centuries, of those who follow true religion and true God? It is finding solace within the psalms themselves, by that daily recitation of the psalms. That is why the church has always put forward the recitation of the psalms. Priests take the psalms and pray through them in a cycle, and the cycle in which they pray through the psalms is to get through the entirety of the book of psalms every single week. The monks in prior times used to go through the entirety of 150 psalms in a single day. That was relaxed so that it would be done only in 1 week for the priest, particularly because he has so many difficulties. But that means that the priest prays between 33 and, I believe, 36 psalms every single day, singing and making melody to the Lord. And it's for this reason that the life of the priest is truly the happiest life, because not only is he bound to pray these prayers, to sing these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, but it is his joy to be able to do so. It is his great solace in the midst of every trial to be reminded of what the struggles of the church are and what the struggles have always been, and yet how God in his mercies is always near, crying out to God on behalf of the faithful and on behalf of his own soul, that he may make good use of his time, even though the days be evil. It would be one thing to encourage you as well to make the same sort of proposal within your own heart to pray through the Psalms, to take up the prayer of the church. It's not something meant only for the monk, and it's not meant only for the nun. It's not something which is meant only for those who profess religious life and live under the bonds of orders. But rather, it is something which is meant for each of us. Another version which you may take up is something which was propagated so much for the laity, is to pray Our Lady's Psalter, the Psalter of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is more easy to be able to do, not as complicated as what the priests and the monks and the nuns do on a regular basis, because the Psalter of Our Lady changes not. It remains the same all the time, and yet you are filled with the same joys. In fact, part of the scapular promise is that one would pray the office of Our Lady. It could also be, and we don't usually talk about it because it's tougher to find, one can pray the rosary to be able to do so, but one of the original things was to pray Our Lady's Psalter, to pray Our Lady's Psalter, to pray through her songbook. And maybe that would be something good to take on as you prepare for this month prior to Advent. Advent being a very short preparation season for the birth of our Lord, but to begin that earlier, and to begin maybe taking some time to pray Our Lady's Psalter, and to see if that's something that brings joy and courage to you in the midst of the evil days in which you yourself live, in the very little time which you have. But in addition to the singing of these psalms and spiritual canticles, which are to be our courage in the midst of days of evil, St. Paul also reminds us that we are to give thanks to the Lord in all things. And that is a perspective in which the Catholic is to have, which is totally contrary to that of the world. That even as the days are evil, and even as we ourselves are afflicted and bogged down in evils that are around us, tragedies that strike, worries and cares within our family, within our own soul, within our city and nation, that we are to give thanks in all things. You see, the Christian sees everything as a grace. Why? Because he sees the hand of divine providence at work in all things. Nothing can happen to the Christian that is outside of the will and protection of God. We see this from Holy Job, as we've spoken about on other occasions. Holy Job, who had everything taken from him, and you would say, woe is him to have it all robbed from him in a single moment, and then a second time to have his health, his body, his own person even stricken in this way. And yet, God approved of every one of these tests and trials which were given to Holy Job. And so, if God is approving it, what does that mean? God is always for you. God works nothing out for your evil, nor for your destruction. In fact, even as he allows the body or the soul to be afflicted by all sorts of diverse temptations and struggles and hardships, even as he withdraws his presence and allows the evil spirit to inflict desolation upon our souls in various moments, he does so that our eyes may be all the more fixed on him in the midst of these worldly and spiritual evils, recognizing that he alone is the one who brings consolation and strength to us. And so, if our Lord withdraws for that purpose, all the more he will bring his presence in the full as a greater gift when the moment strikes, when it fancies his good pleasure and will. And so you can have confidence that whatever evil you are afflicted with, that you can give thanks to it, because it is God in his divine providence, in his good will, according to his own good pleasure, that he allows you to be able to experience these things. And so to give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he says within the scriptures, in all these things. Therefore, just as we've spoken on many other occasions, to use the time which we have well, the time which we know not how much it is, but we know that it is limited already, to use it all the greater for the value that it is to do the good which God has prepared for us in advance. Particularly as we see the days being evil, to make sure that we sing those psalms, those spiritual canticles, those things which have nourished the church from her very inception, from her very gift of her time, to be able to have consolation in these great works, always giving thanks to God, that these encouragements may be not only those which remain within a book and upon a shelf, but they may be lived and profited from within our own souls. We can do so in the midst of evil because of what? Because we are not filled with the luxuries given by this world, but rather filled with the gift of Christ and of his Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.